Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to 2 Samuel, chapter number 24. 2 Samuel, chapter number 24. And we come to the last chapter of 2 Samuel as we are studying the life of David. And there are some, as we consider the character study, things that we can see and take as an example, and things that, as we've seen in the life of David, as we can own in our own lives, that we need to stop doing, lessons that we can learn, principles. You know, the Old Testament is written for our benefit and for our learning. And every word that we find in the Word of God is important. None should be neglected. And as we study the life of David, we have been dealing with his life in an expository way, and we're continuing here. Come to the last chapter. There will probably be one more message after this. I'm not sure. But this is the 36th message from the life of David. All right, it seems like we've been there for a while, but I think it's been good, some helpful things we find in the Word of God. But 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.' For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, 'Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people.' And Joab said unto the king, 'Now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of the Lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?' Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel." Now, if you go down to verse number 10, if you would please, we see from verse number 5 down to verse 9, they do take their journey. It kind of shows you where they took their journey. They made a full circle, came back to Jerusalem, reported the number to the king, and we come to verse 10. And notice after David hears the number, the Bible says in verse 10, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee.' So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, 'Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me.' And David said unto Gad, 'I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man.' So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, 'It is enough. Stay now thine hand.' And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arauna the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, 'Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house.'" I want you to go down to verse 24. The Bible says, "And the king said unto Arauna, 'Nay, but I will surely buy it for thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing.' So David bought the threshing floor of the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel." I want to draw your attention this evening to verse number 10. "Where the word of God, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people." I want to preach this evening on this thought that we find in verse 10, when your heart smites you. When your heart smites you. Now, In the life of David, we just came at last week, we dealt with really the first judgment that we see that the Bible doesn't tell us specifically at what time it came, but it came during a time that David was the king, the famine. Now, the famine was the cause of Saul's disobedience and Saul's really disobedience to the word of God and to the treaty that was made with another nation. And here this is a second, if you would, judgment of God upon the nation of Israel, but this time not because of what Saul did, but because of what David did. Now, there's a lot of confusion in this passage that people speak of because of the other scriptures that we find in the Word of God. But really, when we look at the scriptures, sometimes people look at references and they cross references with other places where they see the same event take place. And they look at it and say, wow, it's a contradiction. Well, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect. And so when we see things, we have to look at it in the light of it's a completion to where another passage will shed a light on another passage. In other words, we're going to find out that passages actually complete each other and don't contradict each other. They allow us to see deeper what was going on in these particular instances. And that's what we find in this passage as we find the cross-reference in the book of 1 Chronicles. But notice here, as we consider here, David's heart smiting him. David was filled with guilt. He was filled with the conviction of God upon his life because of his disobedience for numbering the people. And I want to study this passage this evening and look at some lessons that we can glean from this chapter as we come to the closing chapter of 2 Samuel and near the end of the life of David. Now, the first thing we look at, and really three basic things. First of all, we see the command of the numbering. The Bible tells us that David is going to command Joab, his top man in the army, to go and to number the people. And we're going to see that that's going to be in disobedience to God. But I want us to consider several things that as we begin in verse 1, we see the cause of the numbering. The Bible tells us in verse 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Notice, and he, who's the he here? God. He moved David against them. Who's the them? Israel. To say, go number Israel and Judah. Now notice a few things. First of all, the Bible says, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against who? Who was God angry with? He was angry with Israel. Why? Because again, they had rebelled against God. Now the Bible doesn't show us particularly what rebellion it was, but we know they rebelled against God. And that's not something that's rare among the children of Israel. That was quite common among the children of Israel. And so the Bible says that God moved David against Israel to go and number the children of Israel. Now, when we think of the cause of the numbering of the people, we know this is sin in the sight of God because of the consequences and the judgment that resulted in the numbering of the people. But what truly is the cause of this numbering? What is it that caused David to number the people and to disobey God? Now, first of all, we see this. First of all, we see it's really threefold. And I want you to write those down because they're important. Many people take this passage and they take it out of context, and they kind of have their own interpretations about their preconceived ideas as they come to the Word of God. But as we look at the Word of God as a whole, we come to a clear understanding. Notice, first of all, the cause of the numbering was the anger of the Lord. Very important. The Bible tells us, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, the anger of the Lord is, the Bible says here, what is it that moved David to number the people? Now, it is important to consider the anger of the Lord because this is why this is all happening. This is not happening because nothing is going on in Israel. Everybody is being obedient to the Word of God and everybody is in communion with God. There is rebellion going on in Israel, and that's why this is happening. Now, we see the anger of the Lord was because, first of all, of rebellion. The Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. There is a pattern of rebellion in the nation of Israel, and there's been a pattern of rebellion. We could go to the time of Judges. Remember that kind of in the time of the Judges, when the judges were appointed of God, why were the judges appointed? Because Israel was worshiping false gods, or they were under the rule of a foreign nation. And so God raises up judges to get Israel back to the place where they needed to be. In the past, think about it, they had rejected God when they wanted what? A king like every other nation. That's not that too long ago. That was when, that's one king ago before Saul. The nation of Israel came to the prophet Samuel and says, we want a king. We want to be like all the other Gentile nations. What did God say? God says, Samuel, don't get upset. They have not rejected me. They have rejected me. You see, the children of Israel by pattern have rebelled against God, have said basically this, we want to be like all the other nations. We don't want to be different. We want to be like everybody else. We know for a time they followed Saul in his disobedience and rebellion towards God. More recently, think about it, they had followed Absalom in the rebellion against the legitimate King David. So this is not an innocent nation. This is not a nation where there's been no rebellion. We see that the anger of the Lord is kindled against the nation of Israel. He's angry at them because of their repeated rebellion. So the anger was because of rebellion, but number two, the anger was because of the repeated rebellion. There's a word, the second word we find in verse 1, the Bible says, and again. Now that's an important word, again. In other words, this was not just one offense, but rather repeated rebellion against the Lord. This repetition speaks of the seriousness of their sin. This was not like a mistake that was made just once, but rather a repeated disobedience which continued unrepented. That's what God says here. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Israel has been repeated the same type of sin over and over and over again. So when we begin this passage, we see something about God. God is gracious. God is merciful. Because there's been repeated rebellion time and time again, and Israel has not come clean before God, and therefore the anger of the Lord is kindled against Israel. So the anger of the Lord was because of rebellion, because it was repeated rebellion. But thirdly, the anger brought retribution. The Bible says that, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, it may seem difficult to understand this verse on the surface, but a little bit of Bible knowledge will help us understand this verse quite clearly. I want us to go to Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Romans chapter number 1. I want us to look at the wording, because the wording is important. This is exactly what takes place in 2 Samuel chapter number 24. In Romans chapter number 1, let's begin reading, if you would, in verse number 22, or verse 21. The Bible says here, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, notice what happened. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which it was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Three times the Word of God points out to us that God gave them up. God gave them over. Why? Because of their rebellion against God. That is exactly what took place here in 2 Samuel chapter number 24. You see, the reason why God moved David is because of the repeated rebellion of Israel. And you see what's happening here? God is giving them over to more sinfulness. Now again, God is not the author of sin. God does not tempt people to sin because He cannot sin. He's perfect. But what He does do according to His Word is He gives people over to what they want.
In other words, you want to be involved in sin, you want to be involved in unrepentant, repeated sin, then I'm going to give you over to that to further sin so the judgment will be greater upon you. John Butler wrote, he says, Israel had rebelled repeatedly, and so God gives them up to more sin to make their judgment worse when he eventually brings the judgment upon them. If you insist on a path of sin, God will give you up to your sinful desires in order to increase the severity of your judgment. That's exactly what's taking place in Israel. You see, again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And therefore, he moved David. He gave them up to a reprobate mind. He gave them over to further sin. In other words, he says, I'm not going to restrain you anymore, David. You want to number the people? You go ahead and number the people. Now we see here, it's important because we look at the whole of the Word of God. When we consider the command of the numbering, we see, first of all, the anger of the Lord, but number two, we see the artifice of Satan. Now Satan is, the Bible says, is the great deceiver. He is a conniver. He is a trickster. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 21:1, which is the parallel passage, if you would, here in 2 Samuel 24:1, the Bible says, and he, God, moved David against them. In other words, God gives him over. But 1 Chronicles 21:1 tells us, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So people say, well, who caused David to number the people? Was it God or was it Satan?
It was both.
It was both. You see, God gives David over to who?
To Satan.
You see, this is not contradiction, as some would have it, but rather it is a completion of the account of 2 Samuel 24. You see, in 1 Chronicles 22, God pulls the curtain away and shows us what took place spiritually behind the scene. God permitted Satan to do what Satan always does, to influence man to sin. You see, God brings judgment upon men by permitting men to go their evil way and to follow Satan when they continually reject God over and over and over again. So God gives him over and Satan takes over. His will takes over. His priority. Now what does he want to do? He wants to come against the will of God. He goes against the Word of God. And so we see in the command of the numbering not only the anger of the Lord, the artifice of Satan, but there's a third thing present there. And that is the arrogance of David. You see, David is not to not blame here. Because if you look at this passage, notice if we read again 2 Samuel 24 verse 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he, notice, moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, notice, that I may know the number of the people. Verse 3. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? David is not innocent here. You see, David and Israel, because of their repeated rebellion, God gives them over. Satan now is the primary influencer of their minds, not God anymore. And therefore, the next step here, we see the perfect result of that, is David is arrogant as can be. Pride has taken over. Now, a census, the numbering of the people, typically would be for the purpose of numbering all the people. But that's not what this census is for. This census here, by the way, by looking at several things in those verses, later in our text, Joab confronts David by asking, why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? He clearly reveals David's pride in wanting to find out how large an army he had. In verse 9, you remember when, we'll see a little later in verse 9, the Bible says when he gives the record, the Bible tells us, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword. That's what David was interested in. In the previous numbering of the people, who was in charge? The priests.
were in charge of numbering the people under Moses. But here it's Joab, the man who's in charge of the army. You see, so they weren't interested in knowing the number of the people. What David wanted to find out is how many warriors does he have? It wasn't about a good cause. It was about something that would be puffed up. The Bible tells us here that David, that I may know the number of the people. I want to know. It's interesting, Joab's response. Joab is like the spiritual guy here. And he says, shouldn't you be satisfied with God bringing the increase? And I mean, why do you, what's the word he uses? Why do you delight in that? The word delight conveys the idea of he wanted to boast in it, of how great his army was. So it wasn't about numbering the people, but rather about numbering his army. Psalm 119:21 tells us, the proud do always err from thy commandments. You see, so David is not to be off the hook here because he was arrogant. So we see the command of the numbering. The cause, first of all, is seen in the anger of the Lord, in the artifice of Satan, and the arrogance of David. But not only do we see the cause, but number two, we see the criticism. So Joab is going to come, and David obviously talks to the captain of the host. So there's a group of men that are gathered there, no doubt some leaders among the tribes of Israel. And he receives some criticism. Notice verse 3. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab also and the captain of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. Now, there's two groups here that are criticizing David. But notice in their criticism, we see three things. First of all, we see the principle. Those things that come in here are warning signs before David's sin. David says, I want to number the people, and here the warning signs come. The first warning sign is the principle from God's Word. Joab gives this principle of all people, and it says, shouldn't you be satisfied with God giving the increase? Why are you consumed with knowing the numbers? There's a principle that you have to learn, David. And look, this principle ought to stop you from numbering the people. It's not what God wants you to do. But not only do we see the principle and the criticism, but we see the pride. Joab says, why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? You see what he does? Here's a biblical principle for you, David. Number one. Number two, aren't you a little conceited, David? Should you really be concerned? Should that really be something that you want to delight in? Now we're going to see in just a moment, when he receives the news, when he receives the news, guilt comes in. What he was waiting to get a thrill out of brought guilt. You see, the warning signs came before the numbering. Here's a biblical principle. David, you are prideful. Stop. But thirdly, we see not only the principle, the pride, but thirdly, we see the people. It was not just one person. It was Joab and the captains, plural, of the hosts. They all opposed David. And the Bible tells us in verse 4, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. So this was not just Joab coming and just raising his voice. There was a bunch of people saying, David, you ought not to do that. May I say that we ought to seek counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counsels, there is what? Safety. If you go around your whole life and never ask for counsel, there's no safety there. And the path that you're trodden is a dangerous path. In every decision that we make in life, particularly important decisions, we should always seek the counsel of those who are the godly, those that surround us, those who care for us. And so we see here that this, if you would, this the criticism was needed. It was kind of a warning sign to David to say, stop. And I believe that before, as believers, before we ever sin against God, God sends warning signs. And he sends warning signs in these three areas, as we see them in the Scriptures, through biblical principles. You ever been about to do something and then you're reminded of God's Word? It comes in, a principle, warning sign.
Or sometimes some comes up and perhaps you're doing something and someone is kind of shocked that a Christian would do that. Pride, that's another warning sign. And when there's people around you that are counseling you, say that is not the right direction to go, that's another warning sign. That's very important for today, because today the opposite is, David says, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to the criticism of God's word. I'm not going to listen to the criticism of my own self. People think I'm prideful. No, I'm not. That means you're prideful. And I'm not going to listen to the people around me. They don't know how I feel. The people that counsel you around you have been where you've been. And they can help you. They can be the voice of reason when no reason is present. So we see here not only the cause of the numbering, the criticism for the numbering, but we see thirdly the choice. So David makes a choice. The Bible says in verse 4, notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed. Yeah, because he's in charge. And he makes his decision. It doesn't matter if the principle of God is true. It doesn't matter if pride is present. It doesn't matter if the people are opposing him. He has made a choice. This is always a dangerous place to be. It is a place when we make our choices after receiving biblical principles, after being filled with our own pride, and after rejecting the counsel of those around us. It is a dangerous place to be. 70,000 people are going to die. Why? For rejecting the principle, for being filled with pride, and for rejecting the counsel. When that's present in our lives, can I say this? Destruction is near. The consequences are not going to be pleasant. You see, these men gave their counsel to the king unrequested. Would to God that we would seek counsel before ever making a decision in our lives. Particularly important decisions. You know, when I was growing up, many times I sought counsel from my father, and sometimes I didn't like it. I remember a particular instance where he told him to counsel me in a particular way, and I totally did not like it. But I did it anyways. And after looking back, I'm thinking, I am sure glad I listened to that. At the time, I thought, he doesn't know. But now I'm looking back, after years of a little bit more living, and I look back and say, wow, that was really wise. Really wise. You see, David made a choice, and that choice brought the death of 70,000 people. The choices we make have tremendous consequences, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. So we see, first of all, not only the command of the numbering, but number two, we see the convicting about the numbering. So they go and the number of the people, and the results come to the ears of David in verse number, nine. The Bible says, Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. Now you can look at other numbers we find in the book of Chronicles, but basically since the time of Moses, the nation of Israel more than doubled. Which is quite significant since the time of Moses. It's not too long ago. And so this is quite impressive. But notice here, you remember David wanted to number him because he delighted in it. Because he wanted to know. And you see when he hears a number, verse number 10. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. He doesn't say I have done foolishly. He says I have done very foolishly. And I believe the word very foolishly is added there, because when we reject the biblical counsel from the Word of God, when we are filled with pride, and when we reject the counsel of the people around us, the sin becomes even more grievous. It's not just foolishness, it's very foolishness. Extreme foolishness. Why? Because of all the barriers that have been placed in front of David, and he refused, and he just kind of plowed his way through that to get his way. And the moment he got what he wanted, he was smitten to the heart.
In the conviction about the numbering, we see several things. First of all, we see the heart of David. The Bible says David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. First of all, as we think about the heart of David, we see first of all his pain. The Bible says David's heart smote him. This is not something that's good feeling. When David expected pleasure from the report of the numbering, he experienced pain. One commentator put it this way, he says, just when you expect to reap reward from sin, you reap instead retribution. Just when you expect to receive gain from sin, you instead receive grief. Sin always cheats you. You see, David was smitten by guilt. There is no formula or medicine that can take away the guilt that comes with sin. The guilt that comes with disobedience and rebellion to God. A conscience living in guilt will take away all of the joy in a person's life. All of it. Why? Because you will be smitten with guilt. You see, the heart of David, as you look at the heart of David at that time, when he expected something to be able to rejoice in, he experienced pain. That guilt that comes in a person's life, that no amount of drugs and alcohol and movies can take away. It may provide a little bit of relief here and there, but that's temporary, but eventually it comes back. You see, in his heart we see his pain, but number two, and by the way, this is how you deal with pain. We see his prayer. He didn't ignore it. He didn't put it on the back burner. As soon as his heart smote him, he did what we all should do. He prayed. Notice his prayer. The Bible says, "And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. I now beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." Now in his prayer, we see two things. First of all, we see his acknowledgement. The Bible says he acknowledged by these two things. He says, "I have sinned greatly." Now, let's consider the sin. He numbered the people primarily to number the soldiers. In our estimation, we think, well, that's can't be that big of a deal. Can it? What was the root of the sin that caused him to do that? Pride. Pride is a destroyer. By the way, that's one of the avenues, as we talked in Sunday school on Sunday, that the Satan comes in and tries to pull us away from the will of God. Pride. You don't let God tell you what to do. You be your own boss. Have your own rules. Do your own thing. Don't listen to God. Pride. That's what it is. And that's what David is. This is not about the numbering. This is about the pride of David to think, I have done a great wickedness. I have been very foolish to think that I can shake my fist in the face of God and said, I'm going to do it my way. How foolish of me. You see, we not only see he acknowledged his sin by saying it is a sin. I've sinned greatly. I have done very foolishly. And by the way, when overcome by guilt because of rebellion, he truly saw the awfulness of his deed. This is a similar response that when we saw with Bathsheba. Remember when he was confronted by Nathan? Psalm 51 was a result of that. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from all my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified. Now, this is a similar response, and by the way, that is the way we ought to respond. When we are smitten to the heart. But in his prayer, we not only see his acknowledgement, but number two, we see his appeal. He says this in this prayer, I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant. You see, when guilt sets in because of sin, there is a way for it to be removed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what I believe that verse basically means? If we confess our sins, our known sins, then He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it goes even further. Sometimes we get forgiveness from the sins that we don't even remember. Why? Because we confess those we know. And those that smite us to the heart. We want to get those right. That's why David said, see if there be any wicked way in me, and search me, try me. That's why David said those things. So, as we look at the heart of David, we see his pain and his prayer. We see his acknowledgement and his appeal. But number two, we not only see the heart of David, but we see the herald of God. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." Three options. Famine, which they already experienced. That was not pleasant for 3 years. Number two, you're going to be chased by your enemies for 3 years. And number three, for 3 days, you're going to experience pestilence, which is just disease, devastating disease, killing disease. So David is going to pick the 3 days of disease, pestilence. But who does he use to deliver the message? The herald of God. The man of God. This man of God delivers a message at a not so good time in Israel. They again were in rebellion against God. David had just numbered the people. God doesn't say to Gad, David has already repented. I want you to go to him. He doesn't say that. He says, go and deliver the message. So Gad didn't know that David had just repented and got right with God. But he goes and to deliver this message anyways. David, how do you like those options? Three judgments, which one you want? Because of your numbering of the people. So we not only see here the heart of David with the herald of God, but thirdly we see the harm that came upon Israel. In verse number 15, the Bible says, "So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel after David made that choice, from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men." Now, if you look at the history of Israel and the times when they had famine and the time when they were defeated by other armies, you never find them defeated in this way. The more recent battle between Absalom and David, the Bible talks about 20,000. And that was quite a large number. But here this is 70,000. This is a lot of men. So think about it here. The thing that David wanted to rejoice in now has been cut by quite a significant number. The thing that he delighted in, God takes away. You see, the harm that happens is twofold. First of all, in the harm we see the judgment is manifested. The Bible says that God sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And 70,000 people died. Verse 16 says, "And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil." Now, do you see the picture that's going on here? God is judging. He's been going to the different parts of Israel. The judgment of God has been falling, and so far, 70,000 people have died. But now the angel of the Lord comes and he's about to pronounce judgment upon Israel and to send the judgment upon Israel. Now on all the nation of Israel, this would be the most devastating place to pronounce the judgment. That's where most people live. This would have the greatest impact. And right about when this is about to happen, we not only see the judgment of God that's manifested, think about it, because of their repeated rebellion, because God gave them over unto a reprobate mind to do those things that were against the Word of God, and Satan takes over and influences their mind because they're lifted up with pride. And now the judgment comes. But do you see in the midst of judgment, we not only see the judgment that was manifested, but we see that Jehovah is merciful. The angel comes to stretch his hand against Jerusalem in verse 16 and to destroy it. "And the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Irona the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. So we not only see the judgment that's manifested, but Jehovah is merciful. In the midst of judgment that was well deserved, this has been a long time awaiting. It's a repeated offense. A repeated rebellion against God. It's been so, they're so far removed from God that God has to give them over unto the will of Satan. That's how far removed they were from God. And the judgment comes, and God is merciful. That's the kind of God we have. A God of grace and mercy, who will make us aware that sin is devastating, that sin brings judgment. But in the midst of judgment, He wants us to remember that He is a merciful God and that the mercies of God are renewed every day. They never run out. They are renewed every morning. So as we continue in our lives and know that when we go in rebellion and stand against God, that the mercies of God are always present. Let me tell you, that ought not to cause us to sin. It ought to cause us to live holy lives. To think that that's the kind of God that we serve. So in this passage, we not only see the command of the numbering, the conviction about the numbering, but thirdly, we see the conduct after the judgment. So David reacts to this judgment, and really, I think this is pretty impressive on the part of David in verse 17. And David spake unto the Lord when he, notice, saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned, I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. We see two things as we close this evening. First of all, in the conduct of David after judgment, we see first of all the shame. David was ashamed. We see the shame of David in two ways. First of all, in what he saw and in what he spoke. The Bible tells us what he saw. Notice what he saw. First of all, he saw the supernatural. God allowed David to see the angel smiting the people. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what that picture was like, but the Bible says that David saw the angel of the Lord smiting the people in verse 17. David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people. So that's what he saw. So the shame of David came in what he saw. This is what I've done. This is the decision that I've done. Look at the angel. He is smiting the people. Would to God that we would see the damage that is done when we stand in rebellion against God. Would God just pull the curtain away and allow us to see that God pronounces His judgment upon those who live in rebellion to Him? And see the supernatural? There is a supernatural world where God exercises judgment, where God exercises mercy, and David is able to see that. David is able to see the angel smiting the people, and then he's able to see him stop and stay the hand of judgment. That brought great shame to the life of David because of what he saw. He saw the supernatural, but number two, he saw the sheep. The Bible tells us in verse 17, Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. Notice, but these sheep. He's not talking about animals. He's talking about the people. So he sees the angel smiting the people, the supernatural world, but then he sees the sheep. And he says, why are they being smitten? They have done nothing. Now, we all know, according to verse 1, that the Bible says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel as a whole. So it was all the children of Israel. It was not just David. But can I say this? David did not look at the children of Israel. He looked at himself and says, I have done wickedness against God. And you know what we do in our lives sometimes when we sin against God? We like to ease our conscience. We like to ease the guilt that comes into our lives. I say, well, I'm not as bad as that person over there. And I'm not going out and carousing the town and the bar. And I'm not doing those evil things. And so I'm fine. No, we're not. You see, David was not focused upon the wickedness going on in Israel. He was focused upon his own rebellion in his own heart. That's why Jesus said in the New Testament, look, before you go around judging people, remove the beam that is in your eye before you deal with the mote that is in other people's eyes. You see, The emphasis now is not about going around and dealing with everybody's problems. The emphasis is on deal with your own heart. Deal with your own issues. And that's what David does. You see, he's not concerned about anybody else here. He's concerned about himself and his own wickedness. He saw the supernatural and he saw the sheep. And you know, when we look at a world around us and the things that are happening in our world, we ought to see the supernatural, the judgment hand of God in this world, but we also ought to see the sheep. Perhaps you've been a Christian long enough to see people's lives destroyed. Should that not cause us to say, I got to be careful. I got to watch my own heart. Because the devil is looking for any place to be able to get in. And that's what David's response was. So that's what he saw. But number two, we look at the same. We not only see what he saw, but we see what he spoke. He spoke really twofold. In verse 17, the Bible says, I have sinned, I have done wickedly. He first of all spoke properly. He said, I have done wickedly. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer, right? Not my neighbor, not my father, not my mother. It's me. I have to deal with myself. That's the proper way to deal with ourselves. David does not make any excuses here. He does not say it's somebody else's fault. Well, Israel shouldn't have been that bad. No, he looks at his own self. He deals with himself properly. You cannot, David, if we looked at it, if he started blaming other people, that was not repentance. A lot of times people say, well, I feel sorry for my sin, but you know this person, then you've never repented. Well, you just don't know of the way I grew up and you don't know my family situation and you just don't... No. You can't blame anybody else but yourself. You see, he spoke properly, but number two, he spoke personally. In verse 17, he says, let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. God, I take the responsibility. Please, don't judge the people anymore. Judge me. Judge my house. I'm guilty. I'll take the judgment. How many Christians say that? We're too busy thinking about the judgment of God on everybody else's lives, but not on our own lives. God, deal with those people out there that are really wicked. No, David says, let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me. You see, that is true repentance. That is the true acknowledgement of pride is no longer present in David's life. He says, God, you do whatever you want with me. I am so unworthy of your presence and your blessing. So we not only see his shame in what he saw and what he spoke, but number two, we see the sacrifice. The story ends for us with a sacrifice performed by David himself. And in the sacrifice, we see three things which are really a contrast with, remember when we had the principle from God's word by Joab and the pride in David's life and the people that counseled David not to do those things? Well, here we see the opposite of those things in the sacrifice. First of all, we see the precept from God. In verse number 18, the Bible tells us, and God came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arona, the Jebusite. So, don't number the people, David. Just be satisfied with God, what God does, brings the increase. Now, another thing comes, and here a message from the Lord God comes from the man of God and says, raise an altar to the Lord. Follow the instructions that God has given you, which before he didn't want to follow. May I say that the true attitude of repentance turns and starts doing the right things? Doesn't turn and say, okay, I won't do that anymore. You know, getting right with the Lord is not about stopping doing something. It's about, yes, stopping doing the wrong thing, but start doing the right thing. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I got rid of all the bad music in my life and in our homes, and I just got rid of it, but for some reason I'm still attracted by it. Well, fill your home with good music then. Why? Because your flesh is longing for something. And so it's not just about getting rid of something, it's about filling it with the right things as well.
It's not about getting rid of just the things that crowd our minds, such as televisions and books that are ungodly, and turn our minds to the Word of God and to things that are wholesome for us. You see, the precept from God, he followed that, by the way. We not only see the precept from God, but number two, we see the price for God. The Bible says in verse 24, "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it for thee a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor of the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. So Araunah came and says, "Look, I'll give you all those things and you can offer sacrifice. I have everything provided." And David said, "No, no, no, it's got to cost me something. It's not about me anymore. Pride is no longer present. You know what? I don't deserve to be given anything, as a matter of fact. Araunah, you know what? I'll purchase everything. Because how dare I offer something for God that I have not done myself and bought myself?" You see, David was not going to let anybody do something for him spiritually. He made the decision to do those things himself. Nobody in your life can make the spiritual decision that you need to make. You have to make those decisions. Think about the young people over here. You have to make those decisions. Your parents, those before you, cannot make those decisions for you. You have to make the spiritual decisions. That's an important thing. And there's a price to pay for that. Nothing in life that is worthwhile, that is godly, it costs nothing. It costs something. It'll cost time. It'll cost energy. It'll cost sacrifice. And David says, "I am going to pay for this because God is worthy. I've seen His hand of mercy. I've seen His hand of judgment. And I'm going to pay the price for God." You see the precept from God, the price for God. But thirdly, we see the pleasure of God. Verse number 23 tells us, "And these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee." David is accepted in the sight of God. Because, why? He's not challenging the precept from God's word. He's heeding it. He's not filled with pride. He's willing to pay a price. And verse 25 says, "And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Jerusalem." You want to plague your life? You want to plague your life? Then don't follow the word of God. Be filled with pride. And don't follow the counsels of people around you. If you want to plague your life, you do those things. But if you want to be accepted, follow the precepts of God's word, pay the price, and be accepted. You see, when your heart smites you, there's two ways to respond. May the Lord help us to have the attitude that David had in verse 10 and made that right. This is so important in our lives. You know, I'm really concerned today for this generation, for really not just generation, I'm talking about the day we live in, because of all the things we're always bombarded with. Media, cell phones, and I have a smartphone, and you do all those things to keep up with everything going on in the world. But it's very dangerous. And unless we keep our guards high, we're going to fall in the devil's trap and get into a rut. God gave me this thought today. I was studying this message, and sometimes I enjoy, actually, not sometimes, quite a bit. I listen to other preachers, other messages. And I like, people sometimes like different type of preachers. I like someone that is a hard preacher. You know, someone just preach the word of God, give it to me, and I'll take it. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "You know what? So many times you're so excited about the preaching. You like the hard preaching, but you do nothing about it. You know the right things to do. You actually like that truth, but you never act on it.
And the Lord smote my heart and says, what are you going to act on it? You know, sometimes we ease our own conscience by saying, well, I like good preaching. But that's what we're satisfied with. And we never get to the place where we deal with our own hearts as David did. May the Lord help us.